is weird, odd, strange, or just plain bizarre is really your cup of tea, then the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast will give you that fix. Can't believe it? Well, listen for yourself as we deliver the strangest news you definitely won't find on CNN or Fox. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the GSMC Weird News Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey.
And I'm your co-host, Sarah.
And you and I both, we host several podcasts together.
Yes.
But thankfully do not host any of the sports podcasts, because we don't do sports. And also, we'd be, you know, one of those people who, you know, we're talking about football, and it's like, oh, they passed the ball to the net and the score for the point in the third, you know.
Sometimes I co-host the MMA pod, the women's MMA podcast.
But see, you do a lot of,
which is
it was on TV, so I came in.
Still things. Hilarious.
I don't do, even though the rest of my family likes sports. I don't do it was on TV, so I came in. I'm like, so I'm gonna go find the room furthest away where I can't hear this and go read something. That's my general MO.
I will watch sports with my husband. It's just my watching of sports usually involves a cup of coffee and a book and
so not really watching
some puppies snuggling and You know, it's on and I'm in the room. Does that count?
Probably not. But yeah, so technically I don't watch sports. I do like when sports don't do sports things, generally involving like fights that aren't in fighting sports, because I'm weird like that. But I do find this first story very interesting in that Budweiser has installed victory fridges in Cleveland.
Victory fridges,
right?
Okay.
And my first thought was like Victory Gardens from World War II,
right?
Sadly, no, or yes, or technically the Cleveland Browns fans don't have to do any for them, so I'm gonna go with no, because you did at least like have to grow your own vegetables in a Victory Garden.
Weren't the Browns 16 or 0-16 last year?
That is why they get Victory fridges.
Okay.
So these are, there's about I think 10 of them in bars around the city, and they're locked. And they will open when the Browns get their first regular season win, if the Browns get their first regular season win.
Wow. You know, supposedly, these are things I pick up from the ether of, you know, being part of a podcast network. Mm-hmm. Supposedly, they're gonna actually win some games this year.
That's, people will get beer.
That's what I hear, yeah. And I feel like this could go badly.
Oh.
You know, like riots and shoving and...
Right?
I don't know.
So, yeah, so there's only about 10 of them around the city, and each fridge has about 200 bottles. And if you look up the picture, there's like a chain on it, but that chain doesn't actually do anything. It's just there to emphasize that this is a locked fridge until such a day as the Browns win their first regular season game, in which case it will then unlock by Wi-Fi.
And then my other question is, are people going to try to break in?
That was my first thought, too, when I saw it. I was like, is that like really strong glass in the front? Though, since these are in actual bars, hopefully people will be like, you know, respectful enough in the bar.
Hopefully.
To not...
They're not just on a street corner, so
right?
Maybe.
Yeah. There will always be someone who can like see you if you decide to be that terrible jerk who breaks into the Victory fridge.
Right.
Which just sounds almost just unpatriotic, at least for Cleveland. It's like, you broke into the Victory fridge?
Yeah. Traitor.
Treason. But yeah, so... These will open by Wi-Fi because someone at Budweiser will evidently just be, you know, someone at Budweiser at least will be watching the Cleveland Browns games. Thankfully, I don't work at Budweiser because it would not be me. I'd be like, yeah, I have anything else to do that night. Just like, I have loads of other not sports things to do. But I do so really love, because this is Budweiser, who in the past several months has just been like, I love you and your responses to things with sports, especially Dilly Dilly.
Mm.
Someone did post in response to this a gif of that one of the commercial where they're yelling Dilly Dilly as their like rallying cry before they go fight the other army of ragtags that have the beer.
Uh-huh.
And I just kind of feel like Budweiser, I love you, but you missed a moment here. Because you could have made it like the people in the bar have to yell dilly dilly, like open sesame when they win to open this fridge. It's like that should have to be like the keyword, the password. Oh, we won. But you also have to yell dilly dilly dilly, like Budweiser, come on.
But then that's more than just, you know, a Wi-Fi code sent or a code sent across Wi-Fi. There'd have to be like some more difficult programming, I'm guessing.
Or you just put a video in the front and then people really can't break into the victory fridges.
Maybe.
And you see them yell dilly dilly and then you put in the Wi-Fi code. Was that so hard, Budweiser? Seriously. You installed a whole fridge worth of beer and couldn't install the video camera to make them yell dilly dilly at it?
Apparently not.
Sad. And someone did also remark, like, you know, considering that the Browns season last year was nothing, you know, what happens if we go past the Best Buy or the Born On date on the beer? To which Budweiser responded, oh, we're going to change them out once a month to keep them fresh. Like, they've got this plan.
Wait, for a while. How often does beer go bad?
I don't know. I don't know about it. I was like, really?
I don't really drink beer. So I don't like beer, so I've never looked at an expiration date.
It's like, you do have to ferment it for a little while, and I don't know how long you have to ferment beer, but it's like, so, wait, there's enough beer drinking going on in the world that it's roughly once a month turnover on, like, store shelves?
Huh.
And like, just regular, not, like, during big, you know, sports events? Really?
I had no idea.
I don't know either. But, you know, Budweiser, to make sure they're always at that optimal freshness, I guess, are like, we shall change this out once a month to, you know, keep all you Cleveland Brown fans calm as you wait for that win that supposedly is coming.
And did you say this already? How many of these fridges are around Cleveland?
There's about 10 in bars around the city.
Okay.
And in each fridge, there's 200. So hopefully these are like small bars, and not like super large bars. Where
they're probably, you know, not sports bars that are packed with, you know. I don't even know how big of a sports bar you might have that might hold more than 200 people. I don't know.
And I can already imagine, not that I know of anyone who's done this, but I could totally imagine someone like making an app with a like map to your nearest victory fridge, just in case the Browns win. Hurry up and rush to your victory fridge before all the victory beers are gone.
Right, because I'm sure you haven't had any beer during the game.
Right, yeah, and it's not like you can buy a beer to celebrate the Browns actually finally winning something.
Right.
You have to get it from the victory fridge, otherwise it doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
And that game will be questioned, and then we have to, you know, go back to the replay. Or you do replay in football, you don't do replay in some sports, I know.
That one free beer, you gotta go get it.
And my first thought, as we saw and we talked about on this podcast, when they like gave deodorant out on the subway, right, is people really like free things and go crazy over free things.
Yeah.
And since you kind of imagine this is at the end of a game because they'd have to win it, people have already been drinking. I'm like, please be like really small, tiny bars and have these victory fridges in like nondescript locations that aren't lit well, so people kind of don't notice them. Because I can just see this going so badly when you've got people already drinking and then feeling celebratory and like, I have to have my part of the victory.
Yeah.
I have to have my victory beer. And then fighting over the beers from the victory fridge. So we have like victory fridge police or something, security guards, bouncers. With the velvet chain.
I'm just picturing that. Mom, I got a job. Guess what? I'm a security guard for the victory fridge.
I mean, I can kind of see already like big buff guys with sunglasses. And of course, they're bald for some reason.
Of course.
Just
yeah.
Standing with their mm-hmm. arms crossed on mm-hmm. either side. But then I'm like, you have to have Browns gear on, right? And I can't imagine that because I don't do sports. So my imagination kind of gets there and then kind of like stutters. Shame on it.
Aww.
My poor sportsless imagination. It just doesn't know what to do with this. But yeah, I think this is, again, Budweiser, I've liked the way they've handled their public campaigns, if you will,
mm-hmm.
for the past few months. But still, dilly dilly, open sesame, was that so hard?
Apparently.
Cover people at Budweiser who have been thinking up these things for months and months now. You couldn't continue dilly dilly like one of those commercials that we still talk about, you know, like the Geico Gecko that's been going on for years and years. You could have drawn dilly dilly out so long.
I'm sorry that you weren't in, that they didn't let you in on that meeting.
Well, because they knew I wasn't a Browns fan. They're like, only sports people are allowed in this meeting. Because we actually have to, you know, appeal to the sports fans. Imagine that.
Shocking.
I'm sure that's exactly what the thought process was. We can't let in any non-sports theses. they won't get the crowd we're trying to appeal to, our target group.
Stacey's.
Yeah, that's my title. Sure. Anyways,
let's go with it.
Yeah. We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome back to the GSMC Weird News Podcast. Sir, have you ever worked in customer service or like a phone center?
No, thankfully. I mean,
Lucky you.
Worked variations of that, but not in actual customer service.
Okay, so I have worked at a phone center, and it's hard because you have to be, you know, the nice, friendly, you know, customer representative who really just wants to help you. And then you get people on the other end of the phone who are like, I don't have time for any politeness whatsoever. I'm pissed as heck. And I'm going to let you have it because you're the person I'm talking to right now.
Right.
And it's just like, yeah, but that's not my fault. I just got on the phone.
Yep.
I didn't do that job for long, and I'm not sure I'd ever want to do it again. But
yeah, some people, yeah. You know, I always appreciate the people that are really patient, and I try to be kind unless, right. You know, they're being mean or rude to me, and then I try to be firmly kind, but sometimes I get a little snarky. But
on the other end, I get it, because I've been the customer calling with a complaint, and it's like, I just got the runaround from your stupid automated thing,
right?
And then I finally get a person, and then you put me on hold,
or you are clearly reading from your script and you are not listening to a word I am saying.
Right?
I say something and you're like, I'm sorry to hear that. We
right?
No, you're not hearing me.
So I get it from both sides, how mm-hmm. frustrating customer service can be. I'm not quite sure how I feel about this approach to it, which is that T-Mobile has created customer service the game, a board game.
Oh.
Because, you know, in the same way, I don't quite get the game of life, because that's not how life goes.
What, you don't have little, like, shapeless, weird babies that you stick in?
Right. And they just come up out of nowhere if you happen to land on them, and you don't actually get any choice whatsoever, and you have a spouse, but they evidently don't work, so they have no income. And then you go to retire, and it doesn't matter whether you retire in the mansion place or the farm place, because they cost the same for some reason. What the heck?
I don't know, but my oldest niece always called it the game of life. Do you want to play the game of life with me? She never just called it life. We should play the game of life.
She's very proper. She can read the whole thing.
It was hilarious.
I mean, the game of life is very interesting, especially because in the original, it's so not what it is now. And I think at one point in the original, there's like a suicide square you land on. And I'm just like,
oh,
yeah,
good Lord.
That's not what we do now. Thank you.
I did not know that.
Customer service the game.
Is it a satire?
It is most definitely a satire.
Okay.
Because I looked up the pictures that someone posted of it. There's two sides. One, the like regular customer service, and then the other side, which is T-Mobile's new their new service program, Team of Experts, which is very simple. It's like the go from A to B to C, you're done. The customer service side, the traditional side, I don't think even has an end. Because in looking at the picture, you start with either doing a chat, a help chat, or a call. But even if you do the help chat, you end up back at the call, and then you go through all these things, and there's a lot of, we appreciate your whatever, please hold your next turn. And then it seems like it goes around a loop and then goes back to start, which, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are like, that's what customer service is. That's exactly what it feels like. I get back to the start, and my question was not answered, and I was not helped. But I'm just like, but shouldn't you have a, you know, very hard to get to, but still there, your problem was resolved and or you gave up?
Right. So
there should be an end, right?
Is this like a marketing tool? Look how crappy normal customer service is. Oh, flip the board over. Look how awesome this ABC thing is.
That's what it seems to be, yes. So this does seem to be their sort of gimmicky way of advertising the new thing, Team of Experts, which is a new thing they're starting. Evidently, T-Mobile was ranked at one point like best in customer service, and then went really down to like worst in customer service, and then came back up to best in customer service, and they're pretty somewhat high.
So they're like the roller coaster of customer service.
Well, and here's the thing. When they went down, it's because they were trying to merge with somebody and that didn't work out.
They've recently, I think, either merged or acquired Sprint. Is that
that's what a lot of people think this is about, especially the team of experts. People think that this team of experts is their new way to sell their merger with Sprint on somewhere of the basis, because their team of experts, evidently, it's designed to route the support calls to a group of staffers. So rather than being like, this is the, you know, the billing department and this is the like technological department or whatever, where you'd have to keep being sent around, mm-hmm. you just have one small like troubleshooting group of, oh, what, you're having a problem with whatever?
Oh, so
Andy can fix that.
They're already on the line. So because that's another frustration. Oh, you need the technical department. Let me transfer you.
Well, and then they're closed at 5.
Or they don't. First, you go through the automated system and put in all of your information.
Right.
Then the person answers and they don't have any of your information.
Right.
So then they transfer you and you say, yes, but can you fill them in on what we've been talking? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hello, this is Sarah in customer
Can
service.
Can I have you fill out your account number? I was like, yeah. This is the fourth time I'm giving you my account number.
Did they tell you the problem? No, what's going on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So rather than that, more like and how now in some like really cool offices where they have the sort of, you're huddled around each other.
In like a
desk set
pod
setup.
Sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah, like a pod. So this is your like pod of staffers who work together and don't send you through the annoying automated system, which has a whole acronym, as things do, Interactive Voice Response, or IVR.
Of course.
Which just kind of sounds like an STD or something.
Oh, I was thinking a medical procedure, but yeah, okay.
Well, because I have it in my notes as IVR systems, but I almost read it as like IVR symptoms.
Yeah.
So I was like...
The symptoms of IVR.
Right. Rage, frustration, wanting to break your phone. So yeah, but people are thinking that maybe this is their way to like help support that idea of Sprint because, hey, now that we've got our team of staffers, that will require that we do more hiring. So we're creating jobs. And then if we merge with Sprint, they'll also have to have this team of staffers. So they'll have to hire more jobs. And hey, look, job creation, isn't that great? To which my whole thing always with job creation, so I'm like, yeah, but what kind of jobs are they? Because again, I've been on this end. So I'm like, is this just a really minimal like, minimum wage, no benefits, whatever job, in which case, no, that kind of sucks. And I feel really bad for your staffers, who's probably still going to get yelled at because that's just the nature of customer service. Just don't yell at your customer service people. People, like, really, they're trying, some of them. Others of them, they're probably just like, my soul has been sucked out after so many times of so many terrible people on the phone. I don't care anymore. In which case, that was also still kind of your fault or people like you's fault.
Yeah, I hear you.
So, yeah, I don't know. This is it came with little pieces that look like sorry pieces.
Okay.
But I don't think you can slide or knock people off. Do you do that in Sorry if you slide and you knock people off?
It's been a really long time since I played Sorry. Doesn't Sorry have the big thing in the middle? No, maybe that's something else.
Trouble. You're thinking of Trouble.
Trouble, thank you.
Sorry is the one where you do it by cards. Each card tells you how you move. And if you wind up on the little arrow of your own color, you can, or not of your own color, one of the two, you can slide along it, and you're trying to get your pieces all the way back around mm-hmm. and into home. My mother, sister, and I played a game of that got really tense because we kept all like sliding each other,
of course,
off, and then when you slide off, you have to go back to home, and you can only get a one or a two or a sorry to get out. There was a lot of like seeking of revenge, quickly getting revenge, and then getting revenged on. That game got a little intense, and there were some, you know.
Were there tears?
There weren't tears. There were some heated stares of like, don't you dare, I will hurt you. But Sorry is one of the games where it's not either me or my sister wins. She always wins. I like Monopoly. I always win at Scenic. Sorry is one of those ones where, because it's mostly just chance, you kind of have a chance to win. This one is a you have no chance to win unless you do the 1-2-3-4 side, which in that case, it's not really a game. It's
right.
Like it's the simplest of, you know, explanation charts. But the game side, again, I've been on both sides of customer service, so I'm like, I don't know that it's that frustrating and never ending. Like, really? And then they even have in there a supervisor who's not helpful at all, as you can often get with customer service. But I'm just like, but this loop and this part that just sort of goes off and ends but isn't an ending, like it's a door in the Winchester house. Like, what? Where do I go? And then I go back to, are you kidding?
Like, wow.
I do like, and I think a lot of places do this, but T-Mobile also has that, especially with their team of experts, will have that we can call you back thing Mm-hmm. But rather than a, you won't lose your place in line with the team of experts, I think you can set when you want them to call, which is even much more helpful. Yeah. It's like, I've got an hour for lunch and I spend it on customer service and you'll call me back, but then you won't call me back for like an hour 45.
Yes.
I'm at work. That's not helpful right now. Like, can you call me back at like 4 something? So interesting to see people are cynical about whether or not this was just, oh, we're being, you know, facetious, or if it's like,
although if it's a training exercise, it sounds much more fun than, you know, your typical training.
How so?
I mean, if you get to play a game, like if you're like, just, even if it is the you can't win game, it still would be an interesting way. It's better than role playing. I hate role playing. But if you're playing a game that's like sort of like role playing, that sounds better to me.
You get to see all the ways the customer is going to come to you already hating you before you've even said a word.
I mean, it still sounds like one of the levels of hell, but a higher level.
Or a lower.
Whichever way that works.
Yeah, I don't even remember which circle of hell you want to go towards, but slightly better. Clearly making fun of, aha, yes, we recognize also, and so we're trying to change whether or not this has to do with Sprint. Who knows? So, we're going to take another short break. Stay tuned.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Weird News Podcast. I know I've seen you do this. So you have a Rubik's Cube.
Yes.
And you can solve two sides or?
No, I can solve the whole thing.
See, now you make me feel even worse.
But remember, so our Rubik's Cube came from when my husband worked at Office Depot. So it says Office Depot.
That's right.
It says, and then on one side it says smarter. And sometimes the red side, the middle cube, the middle square will be
upside down.
So it'll be SM and then the AR will be upside down. And then, yeah. And so.
And it works really well since that word is smarter.
Right. And my hubby's like, well, it's not right. And I'm like, if this were a plain Rubik's Cube, you would not know that it was.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
I could have tricked you.
I'm calmer.
It takes me forever even just to get one side. And that's like over several days and getting frustrated and putting it down and then picking it up and then going backwards. And I have not managed to ever solve. I think I solved like two sides, like maybe twice in my whole life after like, and I've tried to do Rubik's Cubes at least like 50 times.
Right. And you know, you don't solve two sides. Like we said, you know, it's a whole,
yeah,
it's a whole algorithm thing. And yeah.
But so anyways, I would clearly die if I tried to do what this is, which is a teen has attempted, he may have broken it, but it hasn't been officiated yet, break the world record of solving Rubik's Cubes underwater. Because there is a world record for such things, because there's records for everything.
I can average between 5 and 7 minutes on solving a Rubik's Cube. I would die. I wouldn't come close to solving or to breaking a record because I can't hold my breath for 5 to 7 minutes in the first place.
I could have gillyweed and still die trying to do this. Just the one Rubik's Cube.
That's a Harry Potter reference for those of you who aren't keeping up with that stuff.
So he did it. He did 6 Rubik's Cubes underwater in a minute and 44 seconds in one breath.
That's impressive. I know about the kid who can juggle them and solve them at the same time. How do you even learn that skill? How do you know where your hand, I don't know.
See, and I think this is one of those things like when they test you for your different skills and spatial
awareness.
Yeah. I don't have very good spatial awareness. I remember doing my driving test where, you know, you have to do the 200 yards or whatever. And I'm like, I only have a sense of how much that is. So I hope I haven't gotten in too soon or else I fail my driving test.
My driver's ed teacher said, oh, like a quarter length of the football field. I'm like, really? That's the...
Right.
You know me. You've known me since I was in kindergarten. It's a very small town. Do you really think I'm going to get that reference?
You need a non-football reference there for the non-football people. That's just not fair. But yeah, so this is, and I apologize because I'm going to also butcher this, Vako Marchalovshili. Marchalovshvili. Of Georgia, the country.
I'm guessing that's going to be the country, not the state, because that last name seems...
Yes. So the current record is 5 Rubik's Cubes underwater. I don't quite remember the time. I'm going to go with Vako, even though, you know, you're supposed to do last names. But Vako said he trained for several hours each day for about 6 months in order to be able to do this. It's like, I could train for several hours each day for a year and probably still not be able to solve a Rubik's Cube, no matter how much time you give me, because, oh my gosh, just... What? And then wouldn't you, like, I feel like part of that training would have to be just breath holding.
Well,
like,
yeah.
Without even messing with the Rubik's Cube, just to, like, extend your breath, because otherwise you could start, like, panicking and...
Uh-huh.
Like, if it's not going the way you want, or if you can't quite remember how to do it when it's set up this way, and then you start... Well, I guess you're not breathing faster, because you're not breathing, but heart rating faster, that's not...
Yeah, unless you're a demigod son of Poseidon, and you can breathe underwater, I mean...
So you're saying he's one of Poseidon's offsprings?
Maybe he is. I mean, he could be a demigod. I don't know.
I feel like if you were one of Poseidon's offsprings and you could do that, would you really do it with just 6 Rubik's Cubes in a minute 44?
Wouldn't
you be
not.
Like, you know what? I'm just going to do a Rubik's Cube for every little square on this Rubik's Cube. I'm going to do a Rubik's Cube of Rubik's Cubes while holding my breath.
That might raise some red flags.
It might. Science might be like, no. No, humans don't. What are you?
What
no.
are you?
And then you start getting explored and, you know, held against your will.
Yeah.
Although if you're the son of Poseidon and they're exploring you underwater, I kind of imagine he could just come break you out of whatever you're being held in. Because he's also the, like, earthquake god, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Poseidon, shaker of the earth or something like
something
that.
Something like that, yeah.
My Greek mythology is all sorts of messed up, and it usually just comes to, it's Zeus's fault. That is how everything sums up in my head. Gosh darn it, Zeus. What the heck? It's always Zeus's fault.
You just need to read more Rick Riordan, and you'll get more of your Greek mythology.
Yeah, so I think this is amazing. I didn't watch the video just because it would make me feel bad about myself.
Aww. For
my non-Rubik's Cubing solving abilities. But seriously, I don't have a spatial awareness.
You have mind. Other gifts. It's, you know, you don't have to be good at everything everybody else is good at.
But the Rubik's Cube feels like, I don't know, like typing? Like something I should at least be able to basic do, at least more than one side, except then you don't do another. See, and I can't even remember what you told me, and you told me how to do it. But I think I now have like a mental emotional block with Rubik's Cubes. If I don't want to, I'm not going to pay any attention to this whatsoever.
I don't care.
And he did do it with the ones that have the sort of cut corners so you can do them faster, which I could still have and it would not help. It would maybe make me slightly less frustrated because it wouldn't get stuck as easily.
Right.
But I can't find them in the non like neon colors and I'm like, I don't want to highlight a Rubik's Cube.
And you definitely don't want a new Rubik's Cube because those things don't move worth anything.
Yeah. Although if they're underwater, would it be like lubrication?
Well, water's not a natural lubricant.
I mean, how do you lubricate plastic?
We're
going
know.
On a whole
it's a
other
whole
topic.
Different.
So, yeah, I'm not going to do that. I think it's very interesting. They've sent this off to Guinness to be like, you know,
verified.
Yes, you have broken the record.
Yeah.
They took video of it, but I don't think they actually had a Guinness person there. So I don't actually know the procedure for getting new Guinness World Records.
Yeah. Is that a job? To be like the Guinness person that goes places and times stuff?
I mean,
I could do that.
I don't know, because we did talk about, not on Weird News, but on social media news, about the guy who broke the waffle stacking thing. And there they actually had, like, a land surveyor to officiate their records and then sent that off to Guinness. So I guess so long as you get, like, the equivalent of whatever you're trying to do, notary.
Maybe.
To notarize it and hopefully also video proof and send it off to Guinness. And it's been, I don't even know what you'd be in this case. Waterized.
Well, I don't know, aquatized. But I'm going to put this on my list of, you know, potential jobs. Ninja.
Ninja.
Pretend ninja. Pokemon wearing character.
Right. And now, Pikachu or an Eevee.
Traveling Guinness World Book of World Records traveling officiant.
I feel you should do it while dressed up as a ninja Eevee.
Oh. Well, now that would be very specific, and I don't think that would fit in my carry-on.
I would want to attempt to break a world record just to have the picture of, like, me next to the official ninja, you know, Pokemon character person who was hopefully doing the cute little dance, but also hopefully not with the underlit creepiness that was on that boat at night. Yeah, I have very oddly specific wishes.
That was a different podcast also, so people are like, what are they talking about?
Yes, yeah. Sorry to confuse you. But yeah, so I admire this. Wouldn't be me for so many sad reasons. Of Rubik's Cubes and breathing underwater and records. I really need to find a really random record that I can actually do. And then just, you know, put it on my wall and not attempt it. Is there a record for that? Like, most records not attempted.
Not even attempted.
I know them all. I can name them all. I can name you who has the record. And I don't want to try it at all. I'll go get a notary and they can tell you that that's true.
Nice.
And on that note, we're going to end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Weird News Podcast.